Hello and welcome to Through Dangers Untold, the chapter-by-chapter breakdown of the fantasy classic that is Labyrinth. I'm your host as always, Edward Jones, and of course here to take us once more through the Labyrinth is of course Labyrinth superfan, Miss Emily Slade.
Woo! It's been a while. How are you?
I'm fine. It's good, good to catch up with you, because we left it on a cliffhanger last episode.
Be back?
And then we went on a bit of a hiatus because you were moving place.
Yes.
And going off to be like a superstar with the BBC. And I was making stupid bets with Tara Connor that I could watch 30 Mikkei movies in a month. So
amazing.
That's where I am right now.
Did you do it?
I still am.
Have you achieved it? Oh, okay. Where are you up to?
We are on day 9 of 30 at the moment. So it's going well. Day 4 wasn't great because I got a migraine. So to hit the lump 4 days in is not good.
Not a vibe.
But we're raising money for Marvels and Milltown's Family Centre over at the Asian Cinema Film Club. So if you want to check out that, you can by going over to the Asian Cinema Film Club. And every day we're posting what we've been watching, progress. And each week we also put on the podcast, we're doing a little episode, we'll do the Mikkei recap, so we recap it all there as well. So, but we also had that. We had the MXM gathering, so the Movies by Minutes crowd had their online gathering, because obviously we're all still in lockdown in various stages. So we had an online gathering, which was really great, getting to meet all the other Minute by Minute people. So hello to all of you who have been listening, because there are too many of you to go by and just name
who
by
are
name
obliged to listen.
it was good. We had games, and we did Movie Minute Roulette, which I could have gone another hour with. It was just so much fun.
Oh my god,
everyone like
that
sent,
sounds really awesome.
Everyone sent in like a minute of a movie, and the panel that they put together just basically had to give their thoughts on it. So it was
that's cool.
It was really good, and as I said, just the picks were really great, even though they were like doing it by roulette. What everyone had sent in and that they had selected was just really great. So and I was hoping that, you know, our selection would have been picked, because it would have been funny to see him do a minute of Battle Royale. Because I sent him the minute of how to play Battle Royale. Because I just thought it'd be really funny just to like pop up with like and then the super happy girl talking about how to kill your friends in Battle Royale.
If your necklace goes off and you're in an unrestricted zone, you'll go kaboom.
This person is really lucky.
Love it.
Yeah, and plus he's obviously beat Takashi Takano just doing his thing, which I think if you've never been exposed to him, then it's just like the perfect scene to be exposed to him with. So
I love him so much.
He just recently got attacked. His car got recently attacked by a crazed fan with a pickaxe.
What?
Yeah. It was in the Japan Times.
I hope he's okay.
He's fine. It's because the security went and dealt with them. But yeah, it was just like some crazy person attacked his car with a pickaxe.
God, isn't he Takeshi?
Yes, he is Takeshi of Takeshi's Castle.
Like, what the fuck, man? Like, that's the when I found that out, I was like, this man had reached peak coolness. How dare he go above and beyond my limitations of coolness understanding? It's just nonstop amazing.
It's funny because over in Japan, he's like not best known for like being a comedian and a light entertainment presenter.
Really? And like, that's so interesting. Over here in the West, we know him as either Takeshi, sadist.
It's like
game show sadist. Or the like teacher from Battle Royale.
Yeah, exactly. Or he's like doing like ultra violent Yakuza movies. Yeah. It's like, wow.
I assumed he was like a hardcore dramatic. I assumed he had like several Oscars under his, like, you know, Eastern Oscars under his belt.
He's over in when you work in the in like Hong Kong and Japan, it's not uncommon for you to wear many hats. So you won't just be an actor. You'll be an actor, a singer, a writer, director.
Multi-hyphenated. That's so cool. That's the dream, this... man. They've really got it sorted over there, haven't
they? It's like when you look at like a lot of these K-pop stars and stuff, you have to be an all-round entertainer. You can't be one thing. They expect you to wear many hats and to be able to evolve as a performer. So
cool.
But the Battle Royale podcast, our chapter by chapter breakdown of Battle Royale, has wrapped production now. So the final episodes will be coming out over the coming weeks. I think we're up to 19, which is the third man hack.
Love it.
Yeah, it's in one hand, it's a little sad to reach the end of it, but the other time, it's kind of like, well, we can do other things now.
I feel you've been doing it for like over a year, haven't you? Or like just a year?
I would say it's been about a year. It's not been a full year as such, but it's taken a while to get through it. But
yeah,
here we are, obviously, you know, still continuing our own chapter by chapter project. We are talking about Labyrinth. Woo-hoo!
Yes. May it never end.
In a perfect world, it wouldn't. We would just continue on.
That wasn't me saying, please give me that Labyrinth remake that you insist on doing. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. Like, the opposite. I just, like, no, just this and its immediate brand.
We'll just start over again.
Like the novelization and the manga. Like, that's what I mean. I don't want a fucking new Labyrinth movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not interested at all in that. So... yeah. I'm so sick of every new trailer dropping, being like, remember that thing from 18 years ago? Here it is again. And it's like...
oh, it's got a new hat.
We got a 54-year-old woman back. Aren't we amazing? Congratulations, you weren't a piece of shit.
What film are you talking about?
Sorry. That was my... What should be positive contributions towards the new Matrix trailer that dropped today.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet.
Carrie-Anne Moss is back, which is really wonderful that they didn't just replace her with a younger actress, but it's like, it really is the bare minimum, you know? Like, why isn't she being cast in other shit anyway? Like, she's exceptional. Like, come on.
She is.
But yeah.
She's like Elizabeth Shue. She just, for some reason, she just never quite... got that push she needed. And again, she's just phenomenal actress. And you have people like Jennifer Connelly, who's been working steadily. Like Pam Grier, it's just normally been under the sort of radar for a lot of people. She's been doing very mature projects, and your mind for some reason blocks it out. Like Jennifer Connelly did Requiem for a Dream, and she did Blood Diamond. She's a very mature sort of projects. But in your mind, Requiem for a Dream,
if you love Sarah in Labyrinth, don't watch Requiem for a Dream. Don't do it.
Requiem for a Dream, I can watch once a year, and it takes me the rest of the year to get over that.
It was so weird. I had a thing with a group of friends where we would watch P.S. I Love You, The Notebook, and Titanic all in one night. And then I had another group of friends where we would watch Fight Club and Requiem for a Dream.
That's a good pairing.
And I would like... yeah, but now I'm like sick of all of those movies and I never need to see them again. And Requiem for a Dream is so harrowing. It's good, obviously it's good, but it is so harrowing and it's just so depressing, for want of a better word, especially when it comes to Jennifer Connelly and what she gets up to
in
the climax of that movie. It's... like it just... it's like, Sarah, no. I mean,
you're watching four people's individual pursuits of happiness. And then, obviously...
fire drugs.
And then just the decline. And as I said, it's like, you know, his mother wants to be on TV. And he wants to make money for himself for his best friend for the drugs. And she wants to open the fashion boutique. And then they hit the highs of summer. And then autumn rolls in.
It's just all the different, like, drug uses. Like, pick your drug, follow your character.
Yeah, your addiction to it. So.
Oh.
But...
fucking in wherever.
That's Hubert Sobel Jr.'s just world. It's bleak. And all the whole... yeah. He always has a character named Harry. Yeah. You know, all these books, there's always a character named Harry, but they have, like, a colour for the last name, like, Harry Black. And...
Oh, that's funny.
But,
is he just unimaginative, or is he trying to do a thing?
It's just a quirk of writing, you know. He just has a particular affection for the name Harry.
Nice. Fair enough.
Anywho. Last episode, we met the False Warnings, which was just...
Oh, my God.
A delight.
I just, like, this... What's wonderful about this is I can watch this movie on Netflix where it pauses and it lets you pick up where you left off. So I always am in the right place, which is super handy. But this episode opened with Jareth going, "So the labyrinth's a piece of cake." And I just remembered how... like, he'd been sexy. Like, of course he had. Like, he'd entered the movie and he blew everyone's vagina away. But then the previous scene that we were talking about was very, very nice. It was, I was like, oh yeah, a lot of good Bowie-ness happening up in that episode. There's no Bowie in this one, unfortunately.
Well, we get a little bit in the start because he's throwing the orb into the dark.
Let's see how you enjoy this little slice. You can slice me any day, Jareth. Any damn day of the week. Sorry, I just felt the need to jump in there.
Carry on.
Remind everyone that, like, the thirst for Jareth is real. And it's here. Being represented. Just in case people were worried. In case you've, for some reason, started this podcast, like, halfway through, which, you know, is perfectly normal thing to do. I do suggest you go back and listen to the previous episodes, but you don't have to. You can just join us here. But just so you know, the thirst is represented. You're welcome.
You know, I described your love for this movie the same as being like a child with a balloon. That's the glee you bring to this show.
No, because a child with a balloon always ends in sadness.
No.
And this movie does not end in sadness. This movie ends in... growth and lesson learning, and it's a turning point. This scene that we're about to talk about is a real turning point. I'm a huge fan. It may seem insignificant, but it's huge.
So as we ended on our last one, we heard the cry of Hoggle going, "It's the cleaner," as he runs off, because he knows that the cleaner is not great. And I love the cleaner. It's such a wonderful design.
It's cute, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's effective as well, because when you look at it moving, because yeah, even when you have these things which are all spindly arms and stuff, nothing ever works. It's a lot of flailing around for show. But this one actually is cleaning the tunnel as it goes, which is it scoots yeah, up the cobwebs. And
I love it. I think my favourite part of it was how it's this huge, terrifying looking machine that sort of comes towards you with all of its limbs and breaks down gates and barriers and whatever. But once it's past you, you see that it's like driven by goblins. There's like four goblins just like cycling on the back, making it run. And I just think that that's so Jareth to be like, yeah, I want like a dangerous, weird, sweeping thing to go through my tunnels, and they're like, "Well, get on it. We'll manufacture it, and we'll drive it. We'll make sure that we have to cycle it through the tunnels." And he's like, "Brilliant, do that." So you think it's really ominous and scary, and then, as always, it has this underlying innocence, I guess, for want of a better word.
It does, because essentially the cleaner is giving us the Boulder moment from Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's this big yeah, unstoppable force that's coming towards us. You're faced with, they're staring down because they come to the lock gate. It's like, oh my God, where are they going to go? And they knock down the wall. And then we obviously have the danger, and then you have the relief. And the comedic relief is perfect because it's very Monty Python, which obviously ties in with Terry Jones. And at the yeah, same time, it's very much like the Muppets, that you can imagine yeah, Muppets. And the fact that, like so many things in this world, it combines the modern with the medieval. So everything's like steam-powered or goblin-powered in this case. And of course it makes perfect sense to have a couple of goblins on a bicycle pumping this thing around. And the fact it's got a flag on the back.
I love it.
It's just like these little touches. I mean, I didn't notice the two at the front until
yeah.
you watch, you were like turning yeah. the blade. I thought it's two guys on the back and that all the gears, since it moves, it turns around. But no, it's actually two other guys that make it spin. You know, like the carousel at your canteen is powered by some guy in the basement pushing a big wheel.
Yeah, literally. It's so good.
It just makes there's something about that that just makes me laugh, and I think it's because I like Terry Pratchett's Discworld, and Discworld's worlds and mm-hmm. runs and similar mechanics. It's the idea yeah. of the medieval with the modern, so everything's like, as I say, it's like goblin powered. They have like a speed camera, but it's a goblin in a box, and he paints the pictures the same way yeah. cameras work. Is that the same? And it's like, oh, you're gonna stop taking so many pinch of that pale fill. I'm running out of pink. and I again, I just love it. It's that familiarity, but at the same time, it's very old worldy. And
yeah,
I think when you again, you can look at so many of like the popular fantasy things. I mean, even like Lord of the Rings has these sort of elements when it comes to like Uruk-hai and the dwarves and stuff. And that.
I wouldn't argue that Lord of the Rings has a very childish element to
but it's like, got it mechanics to it, hasn't it? Like,
it's got mechanics to it. It doesn't make me feel better. It doesn't like give me a threat and then show me that it was never truly a threat all along.
I would lean more towards The Hobbit, because The Hobbit's a little lighter. Hobbit like does, when we do the barrel sequence,
so, yeah,
it's like the barrels yes, all go into yeah. this thing, and it's all like we go down a.
But the Uruk-hai chasing down the Fellowship through the woods out of Lothlorien is not. There's not one point where the Uruk-hai are like, oh, actually, we're the good guys. We're all just a bit, you know, they don't have chats like the sort of.
No, but they managed to wipe out their own number by having an argument.
They just throw knives at Viggo Mortensen and hope that he's Viggo Mortensen enough to just not die on set that day.
But yeah, this is what happens when you breed orcs and goblins, because orcs are very strong, but and goblins are very sneaky. But at the same time, it's all like the brain power is going to come from the big one.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got a speedy orc, but it's gonna be stupid as all hell.
But yeah, the cleaner is lovingly non-threatening once it goes past, which is always very nice, and to have that moment.
It's funny as well,
like, oh good,
I'm sorry, I went to enjoy it, but when you watch rewatching it, it still has that threat. It always has that threat.
Yeah,
and I think it's just because it's shot so close to the knuckle, like they break down the door at the last minute.
Yeah, it's so last minute, isn't it? I watched it a few times and I really was like, they push that to the like second, to the point where I think it's sort of almost edited with how close it gets. Oh, yeah. Very good stuff. Love it. Love the amount of cobwebs covered in glitter. Huge fan. Here for it. Love it. Love just the general, because you know that is Jennifer Connelly dragging, what was her name? I want to call her Sherry, but I don't think that's right.
I think it's her name, because it was a female performer in Hoggle.
Sherry. Okay. She's dragging Sherry in the Hoggle suit, like, down the corridor, and she's talking to her in a way that you think that it's Jennifer talking to Sherry, where she's like, are you okay? Like, they're proper trying to pelt it down this corridor, and obviously they can't run particularly fast, but they've got to outrun this machine that again, it's just, it's practical effects again, just the beauty of practical effects, where you know that, like, that there's a threat there, because something could go wrong and someone could get hurt, and that makes it all the more real and therefore all the more entertaining. No offense, every single movie post 2011,
apart from Del Toro's.
Yeah. Apart from Del Toro's, obviously,
because he knows that people appreciate a practical effect.
We really do. We really, really do. And it's just such a shame, though, that, you know, it's money and effort.
It's money, and directors will argue that it cuts down on setup time. But at the same time, it's sort of like you're sacrificing the audience's involvement. Belief. And belief in your story. Unless you do CGI particularly well. So you've got to have money to either throw at it or it's going to have a warmth to it that we see like with a lot of Asian cinema. When they use CGI, it's very obvious, but at the same time, it's got a lot of warmth and presence to it, which over here, we just either throw money at it or we do it stupidly cheap. And more often than not, it's stupidly cheap. And that's why I don't watch anything the BBC does.
I don't
watch British productions like full stop, so I know.
They peaked at Ghostwatch, I'm not gonna lie.
Ghostwatch.
Ghostwatch. Yeah, so they break the wall down and then they find a ladder.
Yeah.
And Sarah is very reasonably like, how the hell am I meant to trust you? You said something to me and then you said the opposite to Jareth and now you're saying the opposite to me again. And Hoggle's like, and she's like, okay, fair enough. And they climb out of the ladder and then it's the really famous shot of the two of them poking out of the sort of like vase looking thing. And now we're in a completely different area of the labyrinth. We're in like middle class courtyard where you imagine a game of croquet is going to take place at any moment. Like, it's very Alice in Wonderland.
It is, isn't it?
Hedges, statuettes of like toy soldiers and cobblestones and vases of like plants everywhere. Like, it's very pretty. It's like I feel almost like the closer you get to the castle, the closer you get almost to civilization. I feel like we've made that point before. But this is very much the sort of entertaining space where if Jareth were to have guests, he would bring them to this area of the labyrinth. So it's a really interesting design. It's really pretty. We really feel like we're entering a new phase. And then Sarah and Hoggle I can't remember their conversation. But she takes his jewelry. Doesn't he say like, that's it? Like,
yes, he's like, that's my property.
I'm done.
It's not fair. And she goes, you're right, that it's not. And she has this epiphany.
I think you'll find, Elwood, is he goes, them's my rightful property. It's not fair. And she goes, no, it isn't. But that's the way it is. Turning point. Life lessons. We're learning. Because up until this point, like, even just in the previous scene, it's not fair. You say that so often. I wonder what your basis for comparison is. So sexy. But a great point. She says it all the time and it's become her catchphrase. And it's a thing I think a lot of people remember about this movie. Like, if you put in quotes of Labyrinth into Google, it always comes up with, it's not fair. And at this point, it's almost subtle, almost, that she's just like, actually, life's shit. And we've just got to fucking roll with it.
Indeed.
Learned a valuable lesson that day.
Well, prior to that, we get a lot of insight into into Jareth as well, because when they break through the wall, and I love the fact that Hoggle goes, ah, a ladder! And it's all like, because in Hoggle's mind, it's like, he's got this whole idea of how the inner workings of the labyrinth work, and ladders are obviously very key, because ladders, anything that's going up, it's a positive. Anything that's going down is obviously going to be a negative because it's not where you want to go. So, and they have this long climb up the ladder, and he highlights the fact that Sarah's really ticked Jareth off by not giving in to him, submitting to his power. And that's why he sent the cleaner at it. And he's all like, you know, you must have really ticked him off. And
the cleaner is the bog of eternal stench. You really got his attention.
And we also find out why Hoggle hates the Bog of Eternal Stench, because if you dip one toe in the Bog of Eternal Stench, you will smell bad for the rest of your life.
Forever! Great foreshadowing, spoiler alert. Just great setup there. We know to fear the Bog of Eternal Stench.
So this already gives us some big insights into our characters. Hoggle obviously has his fear of the Bog of Eternal Stench, and Jareth at the same time is basically he's still losing his grip because he thought he was like fully in control of this whole situation. And each time she goes up against Sarah or she just defies him in some way, he's getting a little more realization. It's like, wait a minute.
Which is so interesting. interesting. Like, I love the line. In the previous scene, he has a line where he's like, she's in the oubliette. And all the goblins are like, wait. And he's like, no, she shouldn't have gotten as far as the oubliette. She should have given up by now. And then he goes to see her and he's like, oh, you think the labyrinth's a piece of cake, do you? How about this little slice? It's all very sexy, but it's also very much like, and I know she's only 16, but it's like, dude, like, you've barely thrown anything at me by this point. Like, come on, man. What did you think I was going to do? Just roll over in the wake of your sex appeal? Like, just completely give myself over because I said I hated my brother and therefore it should... Like, it's just so funny to me how easy Jareth thought this was going to be. Even though to the protagonist, and from where I'm sitting, yeah, it's like, nah, mate. Like, we haven't even been tested yet. Like, genuinely, it's been a piece of cake. Like, this is my brother. Like, I know I talk a bunch of shit, but at the end of the day, I am going to rescue him. And, like, you need to bring out the hot, hot, hot pants if you're going to even have a chance. If he came in, hot take, if he came in at the beginning with his, spoiler alert, climax outfit, and I mean that on several layers, then maybe he'd have been ahead of the game here, but he didn't. He chose some great outfits. We don't need to talk about Jareth's outfits because he's not in the scene, but I do want to just draw attention briefly to Sarah's shoes. I don't know if they were like a like an 80s type shoe. They just look so comfy. I love her outfit. I know I talk about Jareth's outfit a lot. I can't remember if I've talked about Sarah's outfit, but it's...
You talked about the top half.
Dress like, yeah, it. Love it. But great jeans, just like really nice, those sort of like mum jeans, they're sort of coming back into fashion. You can get them at H&M. And then she's got these really cool, like tan, they look like slip-on, almost leather shoes. And they just look like semi-Anglo-Saxon and just really like comfy and fun and just basically hit me up if you know where I can get shoes like that. Thanks. I'm out.
So, I mean, I just assume that because Sarah really doesn't cope well with any sort of challenge, anything sort of standing in her way, I mean, she has an absolute freak out because her bear is missing and is in Toby's room.
Yeah, but that was different.
Because her mother wants her to go out and have a Saturday night that she perhaps just date.
Mother.
So...
No, you don't assume that I should have a date because I'm 16. Like, I can do what the fuck I please. Thank you, lady. Don't start this up again.
Oh, don't. don't send more hate mail to me. It's fine of you. You take the podium and then people are like, oh, right, you're the one who had the opinion about Sarah's stepmother, aren't you?
Yeah. You were that dick who sided with the stepmom. Boo.
It's like, where are you getting all this fruit from? People.
No, I love it. I think she's really like learning lessons and being okay with stuff. And I think she's teaching Hoggle along the way, which is really lovely. What's really fun about Labyrinth is that no one is one true... There's not that one friend who's, like, already perfect, who's there to, like, teach you a lesson and then die. Like, everyone's kind of shitty and everyone's kind of just learning from each other as we go. And I think that's what makes it so good. Hot take. But I'm big fan of her shoes and, yeah, just generally really, really fun.
So, in this scene, Sarah also calls into question Hoggle's loyalty. Where does Hoggle's loyalty actually lie? I mean, he says that he was saying what he said to Jav to throw him off. And at the same time, he's quick to abandon Sarah once that they get back into the labyrinth, into this new area in the gardens. So like,
I would say Hoggle's loyalty lies with Hoggle, and it always has done. And he'll say whatever he needs to say to get by. And, you know, he says he's got no pride. And she takes his stack of jewellery as his sort of pride.
We could do a real deep take on this. It's sort of like she emasculates him because she takes his jewels. So
I wouldn't call that deep. I think that's very low-hanging fruit. much like the jewelry itself. I don't know what to call the jewelry. I don't know if we had to symbolize it.
It's the sorcerer's power. So she is.
Is it though? It's, well, I guess it is. He draws strength. It's sort of something that he has.
Yeah, it's a totem,
it's
isn't it?
Control over. Yeah, because like it's like Jareth has no say on it. I imagine Jareth has like dressed him and fed him. Like no matter how sort of separate, fundamentally Jareth is his owner, if you will. Whereas this piece of jewelry, I imagine, is his own private collection that he's cultivated over the years. God knows where from. Like, what's it even made of? Is it made of actual jewels? Because he didn't know what plastic was. So it can't just be plastic jewelry, even though that's what it looks like. I don't know.
You assume that he sort of, like, scavenges this stuff as he's been wandering around the labyrinth. But then again, that would imply that there's a lot of foot traffic through the labyrinth. Because,
yeah,
in fantasy, we're constantly finding, like, treasure chests and stray bits of treasure that people drop everywhere. Whereas with the labyrinth, it seems that it's been set up with the whole purpose of just messing with Sarah. It doesn't seem like something that's been designed for people. You don't really think that there's a lot of people out there going, oh, we're on the quest to storm Jareth's castle today. No, it doesn't give that sort of
maybe
feel.
It shifts and changes for every visitor. Maybe they're all there for their own different means.
You think this is like Kroll?
It'd be interesting.
Where the castle just moves.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so definitely his jewelry is his, as you've said, like his sort of totem. So she steals it in an attempt to be like, fuck you, I have your jewelry now.
It's
help me.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's been,
life's not fair, bitch. I know that better than anyone. All of a sudden, help me get out of the labyrinth. And then luckily, they are interrupted by someone we will talk about next episode.
Indeed.
I'm very excited to talk about him.
I'm excited to talk about his hat.
Oh my god. His hat is an icon. His hat is like, I would love to meet his hat in like a nightclub toilet. I just feel like it would be so good at pep talks when it was drunk. You know?
Make sure you join us next time for Hat Talk. I'm just trying to think. I will hopefully have some other hats that we can compare it to in our hat off. So I'm prepared for
this. Hat's gonna win. I'm like, it's already won, hands down.
I don't know. I think I could.
Woo woo woo!
I'm sure I could find some other hats. But that's all for next episode. Man.
Yeah, this episode's a funny one. It's very sort of segue-y. But important thematic lesson learned before diving straight back in to the weirdness and wonder that is the labyrinth, TM.
TM. yeah, so anything else you want to bring up on this one?
I don't think so. It's as you said, it's a very simple episode. There's like the set pieces are lovely, as we've mentioned. We're going to get to see more of the set pieces in later chapters. So again, it's just following that sort of resurrection of Sarah's imagination mixed with her bedroom equals the aesthetic of the labyrinth. So I really noticed this time as I've got it paused, there's like tin soldiers as the sort of statues and hedges, which is fun. And the image of the castle in the distance is, now we can see it more clearly, which again, it's always punctuated by that great theme music, which is so much fun. It's just really lovely to see, and it's exciting to get closer and closer to it. So a solid episode, but not much to say.
Fantastic. Well, that brings us to the end of tonight's episode. Thank you again for joining us on our journey. We are having a slight change in our release schedule at the moment, as real life is busy and Emily's a lady in demand. Now she's like a superstar actress to the masses. Unlike myself, who's not in demand with anyone. So... Yeah, we will going to be releasing these on a bi-weekly basis, so there is going to be a little more of a gap between, but we hope that you still join us each fortnight for a new episode, and as we continue our journey, as we got some exciting things still to come. We got new characters.
Oh my god, we got so much stuff to come. Oh my god, I'm so excited. We're 38 minutes in. And we've got an hour and 2 minutes left. So, lots to talk about still.
Yeah. If you haven't done already, follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And come and say hi to us. Also, leave us a review. And hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. But until next time, thank you as always for listening. And thank you to my co-host Emily.
Thank you.
And we will be back very soon with another chapter of Through Dangers Untold, The Wise Man. But until next time, good night.